Vidya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Prabhupadat, Prabhupadat, Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe. Jaya Giri Govardhan Giri Govardhan Giri Govardhan Giri Govardhan. Before starting this introduction to our 12-hour Kirtan day, I would like to sincerely and with a joyous heart welcome the members of our Gurukul in Vrindavan. We are very grateful that you have made the effort to come from Krishna Balaram Mandir to join us for this last, and I would dare to say, maybe somewhat most important day of our Japa retreat. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Swagatam, swagatam, su swagatam. You will listen to a presentation on the elements which will make Kirtan successful. I also want to now turn to the members of our Japa retreat, those who are awake and with us, and those who are exhaustedly sleeping in their beds because they are not used to such an intense retreat. I want to welcome both groups with affection and full understanding. Request you also to be alert to this. What I will present today to you is really the result of a lot of research which went into a formula which I will give you as a present. It is encapsulated here. You will get it in the midst of the lecture. It's a formula which I have discovered from our scriptures, how to make Kirtan what it can become. Good. Let us start now. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very moving discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his trusted associate Ramananda Roy, associates plural, and Swarup Damodar. In this discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals his heart to them. It must be a discussion which takes place on the tangent of time towards the later period of Mahaprabhu's manifest Leela, because it was towards the later part when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was joined by Ramananda Roy. And usually during the later part, the very essential instructions are given. In this discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarizes the meaning of his, or the gift which he has come to give during this incarnation as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he says, listen, Swarup Damodar, and listen, Ramananda Roy. He prefaces his sentence with Shuno, listen, it's something important he wants to relate. In this age of Kali, the main upaya or means to attain love of God is through Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy name. And then, after this, Mahaprabhu launches or goes into a description of how one should chant. Presenting his famous eight instructions, the Shikshastakam. Yesterday, in the morning session entitled The Kirtan of Gauranga, we isolated two instructions, one starting with Trinadapi and the other with Nayanam Galadashrudaraya, as very pointing specifically towards the execution of Kirtan, that is, one should chant in a special mood, the mood of humility and tolerance and giving respect, and one should chant also with a certain orientation, a feeling of longing, which is expressed in the Nayanam Shloka. Good. I want to concentrate on the word upaya, or means. See, a means is something through which you can attain a goal which you otherwise cannot get or cannot obtain. For instance, an bow is a means to bring an arrow to a far distant place. Sometimes that is useful, for instance, when you want to post a message on your arrow and you live on one side of the village and you shoot your arrow. Or it is necessary to use an arrow when there is an foe, an enemy attacking you with sharpened weapons and threatens to burn the village or attack the village. At that time, a bow is a good means for defense. It is interesting, in the philosophy of our scriptures, the bow is used as a means, a spiritual, as a means to reach to a goal. There is an analogy given, which where we said we must use this bow not to shoot a message or shoot an arrow, but to reach Krishna's lotus feet. Here is the analogy which you can take from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, text 42. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the bow analogy in these words. The Vedic mantra is the bow. You understand? Bow? The pure living entity is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being. So, let us translate this into the kirtan world. The Hare Krishna mantra is the bow. Your soul is the arrow, and the goal of your practice is Radha and Krishna. Huh? This same analogy appears in the Mundaka Upanishad and in the Devi Gita. In the Mundaka Upanishad, in the second kanda, you will hear, Om is the bow, the self is the arrow, Brahma is called the aim. It is to be hit by a man who is not thoughtless. And then as the arrow reaches, one has attained the Brahman. Or the Devi Gita says, take hold of this mystic name as the bow, and know that Param Brahman is the aim to be reached. Put on this and sharpen yourself by meditation. Withdraw yourself from all objects, and with the mind absorbed in your goal, hit the aim, for know, O Somya, that imperishable alone to be the mark. The great name Om is the bow. Your mind is the arrow, and the Param Brahman is said to be the mark. It is to be hit by that person whose thoughts are concentrated, for then he comes to the target. So, Devala Rishi, today many Gurukuls have come to give joy to your heart. So, my dear devotees, when you do kirtan, you should know you can reach a goal which is far away. You can reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can, if you are not thoughtless while you do kirtan, and concentrated. You might ask yourself, well, I listened very carefully during this part of the lecture, but I'm missing a point, Sachinandan Swami. Who's the archer? It was said, in the, let's return to the Bhagavatam, the Vedic mantra is the bow. Okay, that's Hare Krishna mantra. The pure living entity is the arrow. The pure living entity? Acha. And the target is the Supreme Being. But who is shooting? It's you at the present conditioned state. It's called Jivatma, the conditioned living entity. Who is to be the user of this mantra? Don't be thoughtless, be concentrated. Now I want to say, I am from a family of Vikings. Do you know Vikings? What is Viking? Vikings are wild people, warriors from the north of Europe, who used bows and axes to conquer the northern hemisphere. We are called Vedically the Hunas, Hunandras. And I wanted to do a little bit family research, you know, so I learned at one stage, I asked one of my disciples who is a bow shooter, can you teach me to use a bow? I want to get the feelings of the Vikings, because that's my genealogical past. He said, yes, come, but it will be very difficult for you because you have to really, it's not so easy. So I said, well, I can do everything. So he gave me the bow. It was a heavy bow. Then he said, okay, here is the arrow. Now you take back the, now you start to shoot. And there is a target. So I went to the target and I shot the arrow. The next thing is we got an email from Africa. An arrow has reached. it didn't hit the target. It missed the target by 40,000 kilometers. You know, it was really not. And again and again, he tried. And it was mystically. I tried to shoot, but because I didn't know how to use this powerful bow, all the arrows went all over the area and all over the planet. It didn't reach the target. Then I finally became humble and said, "Can you please teach me how to shoot an arrow?" And he said, "Well, the first thing is, because you are a devotee, you are a spiritual person, it goes faster. Bring your mind to the task. Don't just run around. And bring your mind to the target. See the target before you. Only the target. Concentrate, please. And then your body will align itself." Align means it, everything will come into place and you will reach. And the next arrow which I hit was 4 meters away from the target, not Africa or America or wherever it flew. The next arrow I hit was hitting the edge of the target, and the third arrow reached the black spot because the concentration finally came together and then the body came together. It was an experience I want to now translate to you. If you use the powerful, powerful methodology of chanting the holy names, you need to know how to do it. What are the elements which need to be in place? And then you will, while you do kirtan, reach the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and you will, by that, even by a slight contact, you will, with Radha and Krishna, a slight context with it, you will start to feel devotional ecstasies in your heart while you chant. This is a statement which we can find in the Nectar of Devotion, where Srila Prabhupada mentions the five powerful and potent forms of devotional service. One of them is chanting the holy name. Huh? And he says, even a beginner who has a slight contact, slight means little, contact with one of these five potent processes, devotional ecstasy will be awakened in their hearts. He says like this. So you cannot come to the task of kirtan like I came to the to my bow, my instructor, with your mind all over the place. Then you will reach a goal all over the place. You will not reach your goal. You must, my dear devotees, know how to use this very powerful means, which is glorified not only in the Bhagavatam, it is glorified throughout the Upanishads. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that the Upanishads have a aratik plate in their hand, an aratik lamp, and they perform aratik to the holy name, because they know this is the most powerful process, but you need to know how to use it. So, having said this much, I would like to now request Syama Sakhi to come forward and Gaurahari. I will give you now the kirtan arrow But please give me back what the rest, huh? They're very valuable. I'm keeping them like a treasure. I will give you. I will talk now about the points of the elements of successful kirtan. Yesterday, Gaurahari, my long-term assistant, came to me. He knew I would be giving this lecture this morning, and he said to me, "Sachinandan Swami, I have doubt." And I said, "Yeah, please present your doubt. This kirtan arrow which you will distribute tomorrow, what is this? Where is this in the scriptures? And have you not just placed the different points according to the need the poetic need of you know, putting to the A of the arrow a word, to the R another word, and so on?" And I was very happy that he asked this question, and I said, "Well, see, there is not one method to do kirtan. Oh, I should not have distributed it to you. You all look at it and don't listen. That was not the aim of distributing it to you. Please listen. I will soon direct you to this." What I'm not giving to, I said to Gaurahari, "What I will give to the devotees is not one methodology." Bhujan Prabhu, in his wonderful book Japa, has given five keys to good japa, which also apply to kirtan. It is he has crafted these five keys from the verse of Rupa Goswami, where the gradual progression of devotion is described from Shraddha to Prema. Huh? My dear devotees, I want to also say what I'm giving you today is the result of my personal research. It is something which is helpful and which I teach during the kirtan retreat, but I really do not wish that you go now around and say this is the formula for one and all. No one has given formulas. Mahaprabhu has himself not said. He has only spoken of Trinadapi Sunichina, saying this is how to chant the holy name. That is the one thing he has given, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, faithful to Mahaprabhu, has marked this mantra or this verse and the instructions in this verse as the way to chant. He said, "I raise my hand in the sky, and this is how you should chant." Having said this, I still want to take you through the five elements of successful chanting, because these are things which we find in the scriptures. I now request you to turn the kirtan, this little thing, to the back side, where you see the kirtan arrow explained. The first letter, the first point is when you enter kirtan, which can help you, please try it, to align yourself. Align yourself is bring yourself to the practice. It means bring your body there, bring your mind there, bring your heart there to achieve full presence and attention. And then avoid apparat. The main thing is really this little thing, this two A's, avoid apparat. This will align yourself. I don't know if all of you know what is alignment, because I had to really thing. It comes from the French word, here I will turn one time to Gaurahari with a sincere request to help me sincerely. Alini, alinimong. But no, it comes aligned, aline. Aligné, that's a French word. It means to bring into one line. Alignment is used for is a word which is we can use when we describe what happens in locomotion by combustion. Big words, it is very simple. What the car does, you know, there is a motor with cylinders, bing, 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 bing. Fuel is burned, and then by the combustion, by the explosion, I'm not so mechanical, a movement is created. So you need, in order to let this happen, you need to have your fuel, your car needs to have a motor, and there needs to be wheels. And all these need to be brought together. You can't have your fuel in Vrindavan and your car in Govardhan, and the wheels in Jatipur, you know. It all needs to be brought together. This bringing together is called alignment. So when you want to do kirtan, you have to bring your body to it. You have to sing there, you have to dance, you have to raise your arms, and you have to be mindful. Don't be thoughtless, like it is said here. You won't hit the mark when you are thoughtless. You have to be mindful of Radha and Krishna, the persons whom you meditate, and then bring your feelings to it, the heart, so that you are there. You know, don't with the heart. I have seen one brahmachari once in a kirtan, and he was constantly looking towards the matajis. And not just to all the matajis, but to one specific mataji. His heart, finally I went to him, Prabhuji! What? Prabhuji, where is your heart? And he flushed, he became red. My heart? Prabhuji, we know everything about this. You now please look towards the deities, bring your heart, and afterwards you can do what is humanly required to think of a change of ashram. Afterwards, now you may chant, and maybe after this you will reconsider what is now in your heart. But heart must be there, full, and then avoid aparat. This is the first, I would say, the beginning of, this is a first step, the easy, the thing. Second point, the Sanskrit word would be sambandha, chant in sambandha. Enter the awareness of your eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. Infuse your practice with this connection. Here I must say, because one could misunderstand it in the theological context of Radha Kund, we are here at Radha Kund, we are not speaking here about any high things like Manjari Bhava where one is thinking more of an awareness what could be one's identity in relationship to Radha and Krishna. We are speaking here very simply about what Bhaktivinoda Thakur described when he said, you should think I'm an atomic soul, a small soul, finite in size, and I'm the servant of my infinite master Krishna. And this world is really giving me hints to understand this. It's this. The next is something which, due to time, we could not speak about. Sambandha, you have heard, my God, this is really the morning raga you sing at the moment, kaf raga. So, no problem, continue. Rendering service, that means offer, that is the seva bhava. In our scriptures we find this shloka, Atasi Krishna namadi nabhavet grayam indriyai. So what does this mean? The dull senses can't chant the holy name. No, Atasi Krishna namadi naadi means and do other things in relationship to service, chanting and other things. The body is material. Krishna is spiritual. It's a different, they are of a different category. Just like my hand will never be able to grab sound, my senses can never ever hope to grab Krishna or to conceive Krishna. It's not possible. But Krishna can come. I can't march to him from here, but he can come to me because he is all powerful. He can come into this dark universe and he can appear on my tongue. And he will do this only to someone who is sevon mukhe. Mukhe means, maybe someone can help me. Mukhe means, or mukha, mukha means face. This is my mukha. When you use the word un, it means a turn of the face. So seva means service. The whole word sevon mukhe means someone whose face is turned towards service. He looks towards service. He wants service. That's to such a person who is thinking of offering his chanting as a service for Radha Krishna. Krishna will appear on his tongue. Isn't that wonderful, my dear devotees? Devala Rishi, when you contemplate this, isn't this ecstatic? When you take your midanga, don't do it for yourself to be the most glorious midanga player in all of Jatipur and beyond. You know, do it as a service. When you sit down, a little while ago, one devotee came to me and they said, in the temple they don't want me to lead kirtan. And the face was slightly depressed. I said, my dear devotee, you can do kirtan everywhere. You can do kirtan before your home deities. That would be wonderful, kirtan, because you will, kirt means to glorify. You can glorify your home deities. Yes, Radha Krishna. This devotee said, Radha Krishna, they may wait for you. Why do you want to chant before an audience? Do you want to chant for Krishna or do you want to get the appreciation of an audience? Think about this deeply. Do you want to glorify Krishna or do you want that you are glorified because your voice is like the voice of Enrico Caruso? Famous opera star from Italy. You know. A little bit more beautiful, he can sing. So, service. What could service attitude mean while you do kirtan? Well, I will now bring a very deep point to you, which was brought to my attention by Burijan Prabhu. in Govindakund, Burijan Prabhu asked, we discussed things, and service in chanting, what could be the service? Then we will have to ask another question. What would Krishna be interested to get from us as service? Huh? Now we know from the Bhagavad Gita an answer to this question. When he talks about that he wants fruits, leaves and water with bhakti. And in this verse, you can count the word bhakti, it is mentioned twice. Fruit is mentioned once. Water is mentioned once. Leaf is mentioned once. Bhakti is mentioned twice. Why? So that it goes into our sometimes not so super sensitive understanding that he is really interested in love. So when you do your kirtan, sit there and say, I'm doing this for you. I like to sing this. It's just for you. You know, Hare Krishna. Do, 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 do. It's just for you. Whenever I sit down for kirtan, these three words I first put in my mind, it's just for you. And this understanding will help you to do proper kirtan. No? Rendering service. Sevan Mukhe. Then, the last we wrote here, I can fully accept Gaurahari's cautionary words, opening the heart. But it was difficult to find something else. I mean, we worked so hard on it. My team worked so hard, and we got extra a person who from London, who is the best English speaker and manager of BP oil company, you know, to help us with this. Opening the heart is what we mean here is Vipralamba Bhava. Cultivate the kirtan bhava of separation and longing experienced and taught by Gaurachandra. Fill your chanting with genuine devotional feelings. You know, open your heart. If you want a simple sutra, you can go to Prabhupada's question, where is Krishna? This is the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I remember still one kirtan singer in our movement whom I really adore. I'm a fan of Lokanath Maharaj. He is, in my understanding, one of the best, if not the best kirtan leader. And he's my friend, so I therefore am a little bit prejudiced. And I remember we did Braj Mandal Parikrama, and we sat at Tapovan on the roof. It was so cold. And Lokanath Maharaj gave his lecture, and I was asleep because the cold just had taken all the energy. All of a sudden, I hear him calling out, where is Krishna? I thought, I've dreamt that. So I kept on sleeping. Second time, where is Krishna? Then I thought, maybe it's from outside. So I looked, and there he was on the roof. The sun was on him, and he just said, he was in a devotional mood, and he said, where is Krishna? This is the mood of our Braj Mandal Parikrama. We want to look for Krishna. Where can we find Krishna? I looked at him, and I was very impressed. And then again he shouted, where is Krishna? And then he had a note. He read from Prabhupada. Prabhupada had said, why did Mahaprabhu cry? It was sannyasi. He had given up the world. He didn't need anything any longer. And then he said, yes, one necessity. The Govinda necessity. Mahaprabhu cried, Govinda virahe name. I'm separated from you, O Govinda. And this is now torrents of rains, torrents of tears are coming from my eyes. This mood, you know, is the idea. If you feel this is a high mood, Maharaj, don't always talk about high things. Let's make it simple. Prabhus, Matajis, we are still in the material world, but we don't belong here. We are like fishes who are out of the ocean water, and we are flapping around for a few days on the beach. This is not our proper environment. It doesn't supply us, this environment, with what we need. The material world is like a desert, and we are like fishes, and the fish cannot find what he needs desperately in the desert. So we can't find in this material world love of Krishna. So we need, like water, we need this. That's a need. And therefore, and we have not yet attained that. So therefore, cultivate this. I need, it's a need. Govinda necessity. Yes. The last point is welcoming the divine gift. Let me say what I mean with this, because it doesn't really say what is the idea of this heading, welcoming the divine gift. We just wanted to be a little bit poetically, and we are beginners, so we are not always so good in poesy. So the idea is expressed in the work, the song collection of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sharanagati. There he puts a question, whose prayer does the son of Nanda Maharaj hear? Do you understand the question? Whose prayer does he hear? The prayer from what person does he hear? And, you know, here I would like to answer, whose kirtan does Krishna hear? Kirtan, or the Hare Krishna mantra, is our main prayer. Huh? Do you want that your kirtan is heard by Krishna? Or you don't care? It would be good. Because after all, you call out his name. What do you qualification in? And it is there explained, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the teachings of Mahaprabhu. He who practices Sharanagati or surrender, his prayers are heard by Krishna. And I have in my mind a little story so live in Sharanagati, surrender. Enter the receiver mood and patiently await your gift from Nam Prabhu. It would be better to express it like this. First practice Sharanagati and then you will receive. It's more or less like that. Huh? You will receive your gift from Nam Prabhu. This is how easy it is. I want to tell you a story. You all know the Draupadi. Draupadi was a great devotee of Krishna. Once Draupadi received her lord in Hastinapur, and she, although she had thousands of maidservants, took care of every need of Krishna. She would wash, she would cook the food, she would serve the food, she would not give the service of Krishna to a servant, but would do it personally. So, then one day she served sitaphal. These are fruits which are to be cut, and immediately after they are cut, they are to be taken. These fruits cannot stay cut for a long time because the oxygen, will get into the fruit and spoil the good taste. You cut it, and then you have it. So, Draupadi, unlike like the days before, did not give Krishna a plate of cut fruits. Draupadi gave Krishna a plate of uncut sitaphal fruits with a knife. Krishna took the knife and the fruit. Now you must know, one of Krishna's qualities is his daksha, expert. That he can cut fruits, don't worry. But on this day, he took the fruit, cut the fruit, and cut himself in the finger. Draupadi saw this. My lord is... You know, in the battle of Kurukshetra, many people shot arrows at Krishna, and they went right through his body. Only Bhishma's arrow, the arrow of the devotee, were accepted by the Lord. The others just went through his transcendental body, because who can shoot Krishna's transcendental body of Satchit Ananda with an arrow? Only his devotee can do that if the Lord wants. So all the arrows went through, just like arrows go through a shaft of light, for instance. So Krishna doesn't have a bleeding problem when he cuts himself. But on that day he was bleeding, and this was such a shock for Draupadi. She took immediately, in a spontaneous movement, her sari, and from the edge of her sari she just went like, took a big part of this and gave to Krishna for bandage. So Krishna bandaged it, smiling. This was not a zari like an ISKCON Mataji zari, you know, that is for a few rupees, because we are poor. It was gold, silver. It was the zari of a queen was inside. Beautiful zari. So when Krishna saw how Draupadi destroyed her good zari, some say it was her marriage zari, which had specific significance for Draupadi, he smiled and said, "For this gift of a zari, not now, not now. For this gift of a zari, I will." Yeah, I know, but it is done in the Indian style. That is, it never moves, or he talks to his friend, or whatever, or sleeps on the tractor. Can maybe someone help him to move his tractor by giving the advice how a tractor can be moved in an efficient way? I think Devala went out, yes. So, I didn't mean this as an offense to the bridge passes. I was just so much trying to bring my point out. And so at this moment, Krishna smiled at Draupadi, and he said, "For this gift of a zari, I repay you a million times, a million fold." So when Draupadi's hour of need came, and there was an attempt made to and take away all the clothes from her body to make her naked in the public assembly of the Kauravas. Krishna wanted to help Draupadi. But it took a long time. Draupadi had to fight at the end. She didn't receive any help from anyone she turned to in the public assembly to defend her womanly honor. She had turned to Bhishma. She had turned to all the kings, but no one helped her. They all turned away from her. And Krishna also apparently didn't help her. She was struggling alone against this demon who could fight with 10,000 people at the same time, who was trying to take the Zari away from her. Until finally Draupadi gave up through and just shouted Krishna's holy name in a mood of utter surrender. Later, she met Krishna and said to him, with tears in her eyes, "Why did you take so long?" And Krishna answered, "Listen very carefully. Do you also sometimes have this question, 'Oh Krishna, why do you take so long? I'm chanting already since 40 years. Why do you take so long?'" "Listen," said Draupadi. Draupadi said, "Yes, I will listen, but you wanted to help me. You said in Hastinapur that day that you would repay me in million folds of saris, but you didn't come, only at the last minute." "Draupadi, listen." "Okay, I'm listening." "You chanted my name when they started to disrobe you, but you turned to Bhishma. You said, 'Bhishma, Pitamaha, protect me.' He turned away. So you went to Dhritarashtra. You asked even Duryodhana. You asked all the assembled kings. You chanted my name, but you turned somewhere else. Only at the last minute, you threw your hands in the sky and you shouted, 'Hey Mukunda!'" Not like this. "Hey Mukunda!
Hey
Mukunda! Oh Janardana!
Oh
Govinda!
Oh Govinda!
You turned towards me and then I came like this." You turned in a gesture of surrender. So if you want to have an experience of the full holy name, this last point is necessary. Live in Sharanagati. While you chant your kirtan, surrender to Krishna. By simply, if you want to have a simple formula, by simply saying, "My Lord, although I have forgotten you for so many long years, I am yours now." Surrender. "I am yours. I belong to you." And then the Lord will no longer be able to keep himself in the distance. He will come. He will surely come. But I want to encourage you, my dear devotees, even if at the beginning you can't be in that place, in that devotional space, surrender as much as you can. Maybe by bringing your attention to the chanting. Maybe by doing regular kirtan. Maybe by sometimes going on sankirtan, Harinam sankirtan. Sit in New York on the street with your harmonium. Sing as a service, as a dedicated service. Maybe by organizing kirtan sanghas in your home where you invite people, or friends or devotees to chant together, and in this way enter this. Okay, so this kirtan arrow I would like to give to all of you. Please take it with you home, share it with a friend, and practice on it. My request and encouragement is also that you take it with you to your 12-hour kirtan experience, which will start very, very soon. And you sometimes go through it, because many of the points which you find here were explained by Burijam Prabhu and myself in this japa and kirtan retreat. Practice with it and see what works for you. What doesn't work so well, leave it for later or leave it entirely, and in this way become successful in hitting the mark of your spiritual life, getting towards your goal, going to your prayojana. This is the idea. I have to close now. Thank you very much. And now please run to the prasadam hall. Hare Krishna.